Lord, we do love you, and we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I do come before you today, and normally I ask that your word meet us where we are, if we need to be taught, or we need to have a behavior that is corrected, or if we need to be encouraged. God, I pray just for encouragement today. As we talk about a verse, a sentence in the Bible, God, I pray that it does encourage us. It encourage us to go and to live out the very thing that Peter and John were living out. And so, Lord, I pray that prayer for this congregation today. Amen. So, speaking of gifts, speaking of Christmas, many of you know that the Sykeses have been planning a trip to Disney. It's part of Christmas for our kids. We've had to disguise it. We've had to use code, and we've called it the mall because, you know me, I put everything on the calendar, and so our kids see this stuff, and Griffin was privy to this. He caught wind of it early. Stella was like, hey, why are we going to the mall for 8 days? And it's like, you know, it's a special mall. You know, it's, you're going to love this mall. And, you know, she would ask questions. And of course, Jessica's helped us with this. And she's like, now, wait a minute. You went to meet with Jessica. What does Jessica do again? And she just puts, you know, she just helps people travel. That's what she does. She's a travel agent. And she helps people go different places. Well, where? And she knows the answer. I mean, she's caught on to this, and she's kind of figured it out. But now we can say that, hey, the cat is out. I mean, she knows that she's received her Christmas present, and she's excited. And it's one of those things that, as a parent, you know, you want to see excitement when you give your children gifts. Because, I mean, if they just look at it, it's like, oh, look, another pair of underwear. That's great. And they discard it. You're not moved by that. I mean, even though you're meeting a need, I mean, she's excited. Excited to the point that she's gone in and she's got the little app on her phone now. And so there's a Disney app. She's got all of our information that's associated with that. She might, I do believe, has already tried to begin the check-in process for our hotel. That's how excited she is. I'm a little. She's assigned us all like little characters. You get like you're a character. I'm Mr. Fredrickson. That's an old man, grumpy. I'm not sure what movie it's from, but that's the character. Up, that's the character that I am. Griffin is Lightning McQueen, and I can't remember. Amanda's Tinkerbell. I think Amanda might have had something. I could have found somebody else to be that, but that was Stella's deal. And she's changed hers daily. So she's in the app, and she's planning this, and she's asking, oh, man, you got these fast passes, and what are these fast passes? And so I tell her, and so she's like, are these the only rides we get to ride? And we're like, no, you get to, like, ride all these other rides, but these rides, we don't have to wait in a long line. We get to jump, and, well, can we get a fast pass for every ride? And I'm like, oh, if only Jessica were better at her job, yes, but... it's like, no, it doesn't work that way. You're only allotted so many fast passes, and she's watched YouTube videos of the rides because she's never been before. Like, I mean, she's been close. I mean, we've taken her to, we're bad parents. The Caribbean, there's a Caribbean resort, right? Is that right? We've taken our kids and stayed at the Caribbean resort and told them, because it's got a huge pool, water slides, and told them that we were at Disney World. I mean, and technically, we weren't lying because it was a Disney property, and it, I mean, it's right there, but we've like, yeah, look, we've been to Disney World. And so she's never been, and so she's on YouTube watching videos. Like, we watched a video of Space Mountain, and she's like, okay, can I ride this? Like, and that's what she's doing. She's going ahead and she's planning out all the rides that she's interested in, and she's watching videos of them to make sure that she's game. And she's got a couple that say, hey, I'm not too sure about this. What are we going to do, Dad, when they're riding this ride? And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Hey, why am I the one that's stuck with you? How come I can't get to go ride the ride? And that, man, and you love it. There's just this genuine excitement. And if she were here, you wouldn't have to ask her about Christmas. She would tell you. You know, you wouldn't, like, I've gone around, I've asked, hey, has Santa Claus come? What'd you get for Christmas? So on and so forth. You wouldn't have to ask her. She would just tell you. That's how excited she is about Disney. And it's to the point that she can't contain herself. I mean, she's telling people about Disney. And my question is, have you ever been so excited about something that you couldn't help but talk about it? I mean, there's things in our lives, seasons, different moments. You know, maybe it's expecting a child, or maybe it's, you know, an engagement, whatever the case may be. We're all familiar with these moments in time that we've had where, man, we're just excited about something. We can't help but talk about it. Well, this 2 weeks ago, I was reading, and truthfully, that was the last time I picked up this book and actually read it. And I was finishing, I was reading up in our I Will book. And I was reading a couple weeks ago about the chapter that from last week's sermon. You'll notice that it's I Will Go, part two. And there was one sentence. There was one sentence that was paraphrased scripture that I want to share with you this morning, that when I read it, I was like, man, I wish I were like that. And it's found on page 67. You can read it. It's a simple sentence. And again, it's a paraphrase of Scripture. And here's the sentence. They were unable to stop speaking about Jesus. And I think about Stella, because she's been unable to quit talking about two things: a Nintendo Switch that she didn't get that she wants, and Disney World. Like, that's it. That's all. The girl calls me up, because we've been gone since Friday. She calls me up and said, "Hey, Dad, tell me about, you know, Slinky Dog Slink or whatever that is." And I'm like, I don't know that one. It wasn't there when I was there. Dad, what about this Nintendo Switch?" She's been so excited about these things that's all she is able to do is talk about them. And there's this verse. It's actually Acts 4:20 that I want to share with you. And it's Peter and John. And I'll explain the context of it in just a second. But it's we cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. And this is Peter and John. And the everything that we have seen and heard is Jesus in their life and what Jesus has done in them and through them and for them. And they can't stop telling people about it. Now Acts 4, obviously, it comes after Acts 2, which was the day of Pentecost. Some of you are like, well, duh. it's the day of Pentecost has happened. Peter's gotten up and they went to the temple and they've preached, and you know, they were speaking in different languages, and many people came to repent and were baptized, and the church was started. All right, so the church is started. That has taken place. It's established. And on this particular day, Peter and John are on their way to the temple to participate in a prayer service, a 3:00 in the afternoon prayer service. And they enter into, or they enter close to the temple, and there's a cripple man, a man who does nothing but lay there, and he begs. And he reaches out to him, and he's begging, "Hey, help me, help me. Do you have any of this? Can you give me some food? Can you give me some money to buy food?" And Peter's like, "Look, man, we don't have gold. We don't have silver." He goes, "But I tell you what we do have. We have healing." And they healed this crippled man right there in front of the crowd. And it caused this uproar. The people were like amazed. They're like, "Whoa, wait a minute. What just happened? This guy, he's been sitting here for close to 40 years. He's been nothing but crippled, and he's been nothing but begging. And now he's standing up and he's walking." And as Peter and John continued into the temple, it says that this man clung to them as they walked into the temple. And people were amazed, and there was this huge uproar with the crowd. People can't believe what they're seeing. And that just leads Peter, because he's filled with the Holy Spirit, he just begins to preach again. And he just starts preaching boldly. And as a result of preaching the name of Jesus and healing this guy, Peter and John get arrested. They spend the night in jail. Read with me, if you will, the rest of the story. It's Acts chapter 4, verse 13. So they're in jail. And it says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. For they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the Scriptures. That was written for me. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. What should we do with these men? They asked one another. We can't deny that they have performed a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again. So they called the apostles back in, and they commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than Him? We cannot stop telling about everything we've seen and heard. The council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. There's two very quick thoughts I want you to ponder this week. And I want you to ponder it today and into this week, because we're going to be making a stronger point of emphasis this year as it pertains to what you're seeing here. We're going to even offer classes. We're going to offer teachings and encouragements. We've got some other things that we're working on, because we want the church, myself included, starting with me, to have a greater zeal like Peter and John for talking about Jesus. So there's two things that I want to share with you real quick. One is found in verse 13. I told you that I think this is in the Bible for Michael Sykes. You can use it too if it makes you feel good, okay? But I really think that God put this in here for me. They were ordinary men with no special training. Now, I have special training. However, I still consider myself to be very ordinary. When it comes to being a pastor and a teacher and a preacher and a proclaimer of the Word and proclaimer of Jesus, I consider myself to be very ordinary. And I know that there are people who are highly trained at how to do this, and it's very natural to them. And I don't consider myself to be one of those people. I believe that God has just used somebody very ordinary, such as myself. I mean, you know me. I'm as vanilla as they come. Y'all are laughing over there. I am ordinary. And when it comes to telling people about Jesus, here's the truth. We don't have to have formal training. It doesn't have to be something that we specialize in. All you need is a passion and a desire for people to have what Jesus has offered to you. That's all you have to have. It is a passion and a desire for people to have what Jesus has offered you. That should encourage us, church. I mean, it wasn't like Peter and John woke up to our knowledge and it's like, okay, so here's our plan of attack, here's our strategy, here's what's going to happen. No, the strategy was, hey, there's a prayer service, so let's go. Let's go pray. And just because of the circumstances and the Holy Spirit, they came to this place where, hey, look, here's an opportunity. You don't need gold and silver. You need Jesus. And let me tell you about this Jesus. And then there's this crowd that's like, oh, wow, we're amazed at this. So you want to know what? Let me tell these people about Jesus too. And so God uses the ordinary. You've heard this little cliche. I almost don't want to use it. But God uses the ordinary to do the extraordinary. And I believe I'm looking at a room full of people that God can do amazing things through. There's no doubt in my mind. Well, he just called us ordinary. There's no doubt in my mind that God can't use you. And so I want that to be an encouragement this morning. The second thing that I want to share with you is found in verse 19, and it's Peter's response to don't tell people about Jesus. Because culturally, I think we've bought into this. Culturally, we hear the news. I mean, there was a time a few years ago when the mayor of Houston was trying to monitor and was trying to implement laws for all the ministers to submit their sermons in advance so they could critique them and make sure that they weren't, you know, too pro-Jesus. And I love how the NLT uses the word your propaganda. And so they're like, you're not allowed to do this anymore. And Peter and John, who just left jail, said, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? They were commanded by man to stop talking about Jesus. And their response is, we cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. And the truth is, there are people in your world, co-workers, family, neighbors, classmates, that right now they need to hear about Jesus. And let's be real, we live in the South, we live in one of the most churched regions in all of the world. People know, be honestly, guys, people know about Jesus. They know who he is. People have graced the doors of churches. Everybody and their brother has a church home. But you want to know what they need? They need to hear from you about Jesus. They need to hear what Jesus has done for you in your life. Like that's what people need to hear. I remember I've shared this story before. A friend of mine in Georgia, he's actually a headmaster at a private school now. And he's, dad's a minister at a church, and they're still very active, and he's still very active involved in his dad's church. His name's John Simpson. In early 2000s, we took a mission trip to Mexico, and John's just one of these, like, really crazy people. I mean, he doesn't have a whole lot of just walking around sense, you know, if you know what I mean. But I mean, he books smart. He's really done well for himself, and he's just goofy. Like, he's one of those people that, personality-wise, he lights up the room. Like, if he were here, he reminds me of Steve Harvey. That's who he reminds me of, okay? And we were taking this mission trip, and we flew from Atlanta to Houston and then Houston into Aguascalientes. And our flight in Houston was delayed. There was no plane. And I'm like, oh, my, what in the world? There's no plane. Are you kidding me? How can you're running an airline. How can there not be a plane? We booked this, you know, and I've got a group, and I'm trying to lead it, and, you know, that was many years ago, so I was a lot younger and more arrogant and all that good stuff. Believe it or not, I really was. And I'm sitting there, and I'm mad, and I'm doing all this stuff, and I'm arguing with people, which is getting me nowhere, because you know what? The people standing behind the counter are not going to produce a plane. I learned that, all right? And they're like, here's the deal. When the plane gets here, we'll let you board it, and then we'll take you to your destination. But until then, there's absolutely nothing that we can do. Well, I got mad, and I went, and I sulked, and, you know, I remember I played Tetris that night. That's what I did. I sat over in a corner, and I just stayed away from Tetris. I know. I was playing Tetris, and I, you know, conquered some high level and got bored with it. And I read a couple of chapters from a book that I was reading. I remember that those were the things. I went and got something to eat. And when I hooked back up with John later on, I was like, hey, man, what is it that, you know, what'd you do for the last 3 hours? Where have you been? And he's just like, well, you know, I just figured that since we didn't have a plane and we weren't going anywhere, that these people needed to hear about Jesus. I'm like, stop. Stop right now. And this is John, like, through and through. He just said, here's an opportunity that I have in Houston with this room full of people that I'll probably never hear from again. And I'm going to tell them about Jesus. And I want you to know, he told our entire plane, because I witnessed people shaking hands with him and giving hugs to him as we actually got to our final destination and we were departing. And I don't know if that day, if he led anybody to the Lord and they rushed out and continued to submit and surrender to the teachings of Scripture. But I do know that he saw this as an opportunity. And he told everybody about Jesus. And to this day, John leads a lake service. He just said, you know what? Our church sits on a lake. Why not us have a service on the lake? And he started with like six people. And they just started meeting at a marina across from where the church is. And he just, there's over 200 people that now come to this lake service. I'm like, man, what's the strategy? What are you doing? I tell people about Jesus and invite them to it. I thought, man, cutting edge stuff there. And he's not doing it because he wants to grow a church. He's not doing it because he's bored. He does it because he has seen what God has done in his life. And he wants others to have that. And so as we close, that's what I want. I want to get to the place where I am unable to stop talking about Jesus. Not because it's a command, go tell people. But because it's a genuine love and care and concern for those who don't have him. God, we love you and we thank you for these types of stories. And I just pray, God, that we get to the place, Lord, where we just can't stop talking about you. Lord, I look at the things in my life that I'm guilty of just talking and talking and talking about, and none of those compare to the greatness of Jesus Christ in my life. So God, I just stand before this church and I pray for myself. Lord, I pray that I get to the place where I cannot stop talking about Jesus. Let me have that passion. Thank you, Lord, for this text, your word, this story. Amen.